And Pastor Andrea has a word in season, so if we could welcome her to come and bring the word.
Praise Jesus, as we have been doing. What a wonderful time of praise and worship, I have to say. I know we had a few technical difficulties there, but that was just praise, worship in spirit and in truth. I really believe. You know, we've got family in heaven on earth and on earth, Ephesians 3. And I just saw in the spirit, which it's like the whole family gathering together, the family in heaven and on earth, worshipping and praising before the throne this morning. And I know the Lord was blessed through that. Well, I'm sure you know it's 10 days before the big day, 15th of December, the big day being Christmas Day. Just hands up if you like Christmas. Two hands if you love Christmas. Come on, most of us do, don't we? It's just a blessed time. We have time off, time with friends and family, time together, food, presents, what's not to like, you know? And I want to speak a little bit this morning about the time together bit. As a follow-on from Pastor Judith's message on generosity last weekend. If you haven't heard that, I encourage you to have a listen. Be good to yourself, as Sainsbury says, and have a listen to that one because it will really bless you and, you know, enable you to bless others. And this really essentially is what this message is all about this morning, because we represent Jesus, don't we? Wherever we go, we represent him. You know, we meet people who have probably never been to church, may never read a Bible, but they can meet Jesus through us. You know, not miserable you. You in the flesh, but you in the spirit, full of Jesus thoughts, full of Jesus ways. And he has put his spirit in us, his power and ability to be just like him. And I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, God has given you his ability to be just like him. That's the truth. And the more you believe it, the more you see it and experience it. Okay, now I've got another question for you. Hands up here. Who remembers the name, the game, Guess Who? Yes. It's kind of, was it 1980s? I don't know. I'm a child of the 70s and 80s. We used to play this a lot, especially at Christmas, and we love this game. And for those of you who don't know Guess Who, there are two players, and you have a series of stand-up faces and names, and the whole goal of the game is to guess who the other person is. And so you ask a series of questions. Are they young or are they old? Do they wear glasses? Are they bald? You know, you go through, and one by one, through process of elimination, you flip down the ones till you've got two remaining who look very similar. I have in my head Ted and Bernard. It was always like, you know, which one is it? And they look so similar, you could almost mistake one for the other. And I was thinking about this, and I thought, do you know what? That's what the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives to do. By process of elimination, eliminating the flesh, bad attitudes, bad behavior, to cause us to become more like Jesus, so that here's you, here's Jesus, very similar, could almost be mistaken. Come on, guess who? Is it you? Is it Jesus? You're so like Jesus because you've yielded to the work of the Holy Spirit in you to become just like him. Sound like him, behave like him, look like him. All glory to God. We're his workmanship, aren't we? And it's just this yielding that enables us to become like him. And I want to speak this morning on two characteristics that the Lord is, the Lord is wanting to work in our souls to become just like him. And they are absolutely vital characteristics if you and I are going to have a happy Christmas and a happy life. And the first characteristic I am going to speak about is patience. Everyone say patience. Right. The Bible definition of patience is this. It comes from the Greek word makros, meaning long temper, not short temper, long temper. lenience, forbearance, endurance, the ability to endure persecution and bad treatment. Who knows? You may well need a bit of that this Christmas. Come on, time together. It's blessed, but there are opportunities where you will need to endure, potentially, a bit of persecution and even a bit of bad treatment. By the grace of God, we can. And being a patient person is an absolute blessing, not just for those around you, but actually for you. If you are a patient person, if God has worked that fruit of the Spirit in your soul, you are blessed because it means you keep your peace. It means when you're tested, persecuted, you keep your joy. You keep sense of humour, you know? You're a happy person to be around. Practicing any of God's ways actually makes us happy. And patience is an amazing gift. It's really evidence of God in us. I'm going to say that again. Patience is evidence of God in us, the fruit of His Spirit. Now, this is a vital bit, so don't switch off. This is the how-to bit. Last week, as you heard, Pastor Judith spoke on generosity, and she, within that message, she spoke about sowing and reaping. I find it amazing. Actually, the Lord has given us so much power over our own destinies through sowing and reaping. And Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8 says this. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. However, whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap life. Whenever I think about the God life or write about it in my journal, I always give it a capital L. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life, big life, God's life, Zoe life. And that's not just in eternity, eternal life with God, but it's in the here and now, life with God now, His presence, His power, His ability to do what naturally you find difficult or even impossible. So if we sow to the Spirit, sow to please the Spirit, pray, sing to the Lord. Ephesians 5 talks about making melody in your heart to the Lord. Basically maintaining contact with Him. Consciousness of Him and maintaining contact with Him throughout the day. We reap His life. And so when we need to draw on His ability, we discover He's there. You know, you're in a moment or a situation where you need patience and you need it quick. If you've been sowing to the Spirit, it's like, Lord, I need patience. You draw, you discover patience is there. So I want to bring 2 points. Firstly, we need to sow to please the Spirit, but also we need to draw on Him by faith. Now, you will see on the screen there a glass of water with a straw. And I am going to do a little demonstration here of drawing. Okay, this is how we draw. Paper straw, lovely. The water was in one place, but now it's in another, okay? The water was in the glass, and now it's in me. I drew it. I made the choice to draw. I know it's a simple little demonstration here, but there is a massive reservoir of God in your spirit, okay? And when we exercise our faith, it's like dipping an invisible straw into the Spirit, into your spirit, and drawing out whatever you need in that moment. Are you with me? I find that helpful. Does anybody else find that helpful? We've all got that straw, that faith straw, reservoir of what we need on the inside. Dip in, draw it out by faith. So it moves, like the water from the glass, from one place to another. It moves from your spirit into your soul, which is where we need it. We don't need it to stay in the spirit. We need it in our souls. And Isaiah 12 says, draw with joy, doesn't it, from the well of salvation. In your spirit, your well of salvation is everything you need for life and godliness. Everything you need for life and to be like Jesus. But we've got to draw it out. We've got to draw it out by faith and take a big drink through that invisible straw and move the patience from one place to another. Move the patience from your spirit to your soul. And like everything else in the Christian life, it's a choice, isn't it? We need to make the choice to draw on the Holy Spirit. And I want us really to consider this characteristic of patience, first of all, this morning. Because we need to draw on that lots, don't we? Come on. Because there are a lot of things you and I can get impatient about. Firstly, I thank God this doesn't happen hardly ever really to me, but I know other people can struggle in this department. We can get impatient with God. Impatient with God himself. Our attitude is, I've prayed, it hasn't happened. You've promised it, I've not received it. And there are so many reasons why we haven't seen the promise fulfilled. And I'm just going to run through a few of them this morning. The first one, you can be barking up the wrong tree, asking for things it's not God's will for you to have. You know, it's just how it is. It isn't God's will that we all get the same things at the same time in the same way. So you may be praying. God's saying, no, that's not for you, my lovely. Okay, that's the first one. Second one, asking with a bad attitude. You know, complaining, angry, offended, resentful. You can't receive from the Lord like that. Asking with wishful thinking, but not a lot of faith, or with wavering faith. You can't receive from the Lord like that. Resistance, that's another one. Resistance of the enemy. You know Daniel in the Bible when he prayed? It says in Daniel 10, he set his heart to understand and his face to understand. He began to pray. And the Lord said to him, the first day you started praying, I sent the answer. But there was resistance from the enemy that caused a delay. So that can be another reason. And finally, we can be asking for things prematurely. You know, you may well have a promise from God. You may well have heard the Lord. And you're saying, now, Lord. And he's saying, but you're not ready. You're not ready. It's not your time. You think you're ready. He knows you're not. And so sometimes, and this is just a fact, he doesn't always work to our timetable. Hebrews 6:12 says, faith and patience inherit the promises. And don't we need both? We can major on the faith and forget about the patience part. So you might be believing, but you can be believing with a bad attitude, you know. Faith and patience inherit the promises. So for some things, you know, we just have to wait. So we might as well learn to wait well. Yes. Hey, maintain a good attitude. Give thanks. Count our blessings for where we are and what we have already. Trust that he's working all things together for our good. And then you enjoy the journey. You trust him on the journey. Second thing we can be impatient with, and I think this is probably the biggest thing of all, is people. People test our patience, don't they? Yes, they do. If you're honest, of course they do. Frequently, particularly this time of year. And if you haven't worked this out already, I've come to the conclusion that the Lord, he even brings testing people across our path, if I can put it like that. Not just that he allows it, he intentionally brings testing people along to irritate us. I'm going to be as straight as that. Like the grit and the pearl. Brings them along, uses them to knock off the sharp edges, polish, you know. And there's no point trying to get away from the ones you've got now, because let me tell you, the Lord will bring a brand new set. The refining will not stop, it will just be different, okay? And there are many references throughout the Word, Old Testament and New Testament, which speak about the Lord refining his people. You know, the refining, the heat comes and it brings all the impurities to the surface, so that they can be seen and skimmed off. Proverbs 17:3 says, the crucible for silver, the furnace for gold, the Lord tests the hearts. There's another, there's so many. Psalm, I think it's Psalm 11, 5. The Lord tests the righteous, not so that he can see what's in us. He can see it all along. He knows what's in the mix. It's so we can see it. Because we're all convinced we're doing pretty well, bubbing along nicely, thank you. I'm all right, it's everybody else. And he's like, let me just bring a bit of heat your way, a little bit of irritation, and you'll see what comes to the surface. And we need to step back and see, if we're wise, step back and see the situation from his perspective. He's using them to change me. This is a refining opportunity. This is a grit and pearl opportunity, if I can put it like that. Years ago, when Pastor Judith and I started working together, 1995 it was, that's a lot of years, we were grit to one another, if I can put it like that. I mean, really, we couldn't have been more opposite. Yes. She liked to do it, and still does, like to do everything quick, at top speed. And I was just more of a daydreamer, if I'm honest, and liked to pay attention to a whole lot of details. Some of you here know this is very true. She was highly organized. I was not so much organized. What else? Oh, this is still true, right? She likes to be early. She always likes to be early, just a few minutes, but still early. And I, if I'm honest, at that point, didn't mind even if I was a little bit late. You know, it didn't bother me. I wasn't going to get, you know. But for her, it was like, that's just downright rude. I was like, really? This is news to me. I've always arrived late. My family always arrive late. Nobody expects me to be on time. Are you kidding? And so we were grit and pearl. Grit and pearl. And I remember Joan visiting one time. I'd forgotten something and had to go back into the house. And they were both sitting in the car. And she was just laughing to herself. And, you know, it was not a laughing moment for either of us. But she, of course, saw the humour in it. And we were like, what are you laughing at? This is like a frustration here for both of us. And she just went, the Lord's ways. The Lord's ways. That was it. Said no more. But that was it. And so the Lord brings people and even puts us together with people when there's a little bit of abrasion going on. Because he needs us to see what's in us and those edges knocked off, rubbed off, filed down, however it happens over time, changed so that you become more like Jesus. Now, we're going to read some surprising verses. We're going to look at James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Let me just say to you, in those grit and pearl moments, yield quick. That's my advice. That's what I've learned over time. Yield quick, because the longer you don't yield, the harder and more painful it is. So, the Lord says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I find this amazing. I don't know about you. I find these verses absolutely astounding. That patience is up there in the Lord's list of priorities. We kind of think it's one of the low-level things, like, you know, eventually I'll grow in patience. But as far as the Lord's concerned, if patience is worked in us, we become perfect and complete, lacking nothing. What a result. I wouldn't have expected that result from that, would you? Honestly. But if you and I respond in a right way, in a patient way, when we're tested, we become perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I want to use a word here, content. At ease. Fulfilled. Patient and complete, lacking nothing. Wow. What an amazing reward. Now, I looked up the word patience. I've got a Vines dictionary. And if you really want to study the word, I recommend you get one of those. But the definition of patience in the Vine's dictionary said this. I can read it to you if you can't see it. There is a slide that will give you the definition. It actually says patience. Oh, flashed up and then we lost it. I'll tell you. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit that only grows in trial. It only grows in trials. So if you don't have any trials, if you don't have any tests, your patience will be static patience level. But if you're tested and you respond in the right way, the patience will grow and you are being perfected, being made perfect, complete, lacking nothing. That's why when trials come, we can count it joy. Should count it joy. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them all." Troubles, if we respond to them in the right way, have an ability to bring the blessing of God, not only in this life, but in the next. If we respond in a right way, they're like a springboard that shoot us upwards and forwards into the plan and provision of God. Amazing, amazing. We don't like them. We really don't like them. We resist them. We try and run away from them if we can. And yet the Lord says it's all right. Because if you respond well in that heat, in that pressure test, in that moment that you are trying to resist, if you respond well, it will springboard you into my purposes like nothing else can. Now, there are tests and there are some serious tests, really difficult tests and challenges in life. But you know, if we continue to praise God in the midst of it, and I'm not talking about praising him for it, I'm talking about praising him despite it. If we will praise God, we will keep our joy. And do you know what? If you've lost it and you start to praise God, you'll get your joy back. And God himself, he's a good shepherd, you know. He shepherds us through. It says he carries us, really. He shepherds his people and bears them up forever, 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 forever. Praise God, the big trials don't come along very often. But the little trials, the little tests are fairly frequent, aren't they? Patience is a fruit of the Spirit that only grows in trial. Now, I want you to remember this. When you're queuing on the motorway, on your Christmas journey. I want you to remember this. When you're queuing in the supermarket and everybody, you know, everybody's kind of angrily pushing the trolley around. You know, you can tell patient people by the way they drive their car, by the way they drive their supermarket trolley, by the way they walk down the street. It shows. Attitudes show up in the way we behave, don't they? And you need to think, God is working. God is working on me through that slow person on the till. Oh, yes. I'm sure many of you are like me. You know, I pray this prayer. Lord, you know I'm in a hurry. Which queue? Which queue? Show me. Which queue? And then you pick the one you feel led to, and lo and behold, it turns out to be the slowest queue. If you ever have the opportunity to shop with Pastor Judith, let me tell you, don't let her pick the queue. She inevitably picks. It's a remarkable thing. I mean, this is nearly 25 years we've been doing this. Every time, the slowest queue. The slowest queue, and you sigh, and you bind the enemy, and you look around. Which queue should I swap? You know? When patience is worked out in us, we will become perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So it's an opportunity. Take your foot off the gas. Relax. Take a drink from the Spirit. Draw from that well of salvation and exercise patience. If you're born again, you have the Spirit in you, an ocean, ocean of patience or whatever it is you need, right when you need it. And this isn't a small thing, you know. I've really been convicted by the Lord recently. This is important to God. Patience is important to God. And so it should be important to us. And the Holy Spirit is actually grieved when we lose our patience. And when we mistreat people or badmouth bad mouth people. Even if you don't speak it out, it's in your heart. He sees, very often it's written all over your face, other people can see. And people are wrong, let's face it. You know, people are wrong, people are rude. This time of year, people lose their patience quicker. But we can afford it. Think of it like that. I've got this ocean of supply on the inside. This rich inheritance in me. I can afford some patience there, and there, and there, and at home, and at work. We can afford it. And if you give patience, you know, to someone that everyone else is impatient with, you give them Jesus.
That's right.
God sees, you know, even if nobody else, even if the person themselves don't even thank you, God sees peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Isn't that the Christmas story and actually the heart of God towards the whole of humanity? Peace. Goodwill. Right. Next one. Third one. Final one. And this will vary for a lot of us, but my gosh. Impatience with things. We all have things in our lives that have the potential to cause us to lose our patience. Don't we? Mine is technology, and actually, it's very similar for Pastor Judith as well. God bless Anne. I mean, honestly, she kind of has to pick up the pieces and talk us through it one more time. Every time we go on a car journey now, neither of us get on with sat-nav. Every time we go on a new car journey, oh, do you? Oh, praise the Lord. We'll see. We'll see how well she gets on with sat-nav. So every time we go on a new car journey, we have it typed out on a bit of paper because I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. We don't. Well, previously, neither of us got on with it. The sign says one thing. The thing says another thing. And she's like, I can't listen to that thing anymore because the voice itself becomes a source of irritation. She can't listen to it. I'm like, I can't look at it. Let's phone Sam. All right. So any new journey is an opportunity for the three of us to grow in patience. Services. You know, services. Delivery services. Or any kind of service. I mean, you know, I told the story recently. I was trapped in Tesco's car park for over 4 hours waiting for a car pickup. Recovery service. I mean, that's a test of patience. Because do you know what made it worse was the horn. The whole reason I needed breakdown recovery is because the horn on my car was going on and on and on. 4 hours. Half an hour, you'd get twitchy, wouldn't you? Over 4 hours. That was a test. And this is a kind of a test of patience over time as well, but I ordered some outdoor garden furniture last January. The true story, right? They told me when I made the order, it said there will be a 4 to 6 week wait. So I was like, fine, I can. I thought I was being savvy. I'm ordering it out of season. I'm ordering it in the winter, ready for the spring. 4 to 6 weeks, fine by me. Right, 6 weeks go along. No sign, no email, no nothing. I give them a ring. Oh, it'll be with you shortly. In April, the chairs arrived. Four. All right, okay, well, that's more than 4 to 6 weeks. And then I waited, and I waited, and I waited for the table. Eventually, in June, bear in mind, ordered in January. In June, I phoned them, where's the table? Well, we'll look into this for you, madam. Okay. I mean, I felt like being a madam, I'll tell you. You reach a point, don't you? And do you know what they said? I got a call 2 days later. Let me tell you this. This is not a small table. 90 centimetres round with legs. Do you know what they said to me? It's been lost in the post. How? How do these things happen? It can't slip down the side of the driver's seat or under the... Do you know what I mean? If it was a CD, I understand you could lose it. This is not a small parcel. Anyway, lost in the post. So I'm waiting for the next one. The next one arrived damaged. She was rocking. Forget it, cancel it, get your money back. I said, no, I really want the table. I've got the chairs, I want the matching table. We'll find a table that matches. I can't. Okay, so anyway, to cut the long story short, basically, I did get the matching table at the end of July, just as the summer season and good weather was coming to an end. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you can lose your patience in these scenarios, can't you? It kind of just, it's a grit and pearl moment. But we've got to make this decision. I'm not going to lose my joy, and I am not going to lose my patience over anything or anyone. I just won't allow it. And we have a teetering point. Anybody know what I'm talking about? A wobble point, a teetering point. We can tip over into the flesh. We can have a tantrum, or we can have a mood, depends which way you go, all out or all in, either way, teeter and tip over. Or we can say, Holy Spirit, get a grip on me. I have an ocean of patience on the inside. I'm just going to draw. I'm going to take a big old drink, draw the patience up out of my spirit into my soul. And you might need to walk away, all right? You might be experiencing that crucible right in the home heat. But you might need to walk away and take a Jesus break. Just sow to the Spirit, sow to please the Spirit, forgive, bless your enemy, remind yourself, your Spirit is in me. I have the ability right here, right now, in this difficult situation, to be just like you. It's possible. Say to the person next to you, you have God's ability to be just like him. Praise God, praise God, praise God. We have self-control. We can tap into that reservoir of patience and stay happy and free, merry and bright. Merry and bright. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Right, second characteristic I'm going to talk about is preference. Patience and preference. Preference, preferring others, putting others first, putting their needs and wants above your own. Miraculously, we can do this. Miraculously, we can even enjoy doing this. I've noticed over time, Pastor Judith and San almost have this healthy competition going on about who can outgive the other, like who can be the biggest giver. I tell you, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's the opposite of the flesh. You know, it's just thinking and putting the other one first. And they're like, well, I've received that. I'm so blessed, but I'm going to boomerang it straight back on you. What a happy, healthy climate and culture to live in. Come on. I encourage you, make your home like that. Competition to outgive each other. It turns the flesh, well, I tell you, down with that. Anyway, you've probably read it already, but Romans 12 says this. Let love be without hypocrisy, not pretend. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another. Now, that is not just a tall order, quite frankly. In the flesh, that is impossible. Isn't it? I mean, it just is on a good day. All right, with the wind blowing in the right direction, you might be able to do it for a short time. But naturally, we all have a limit on how much we can give. It's kind of this much, but no more. This far, but no further. And the drawbridge of giving comes up. I'm going to share some more scriptures with you because we can and we need it. Luke 6, verses 27 to 36. Okay, but to you who are listening, I say, right, Jesus, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. I think we've got some more. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. I mean, this is revolutionary. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. Is that the next? Right, and if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that? It's very similar. What credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Wow. You know, jaw-dropping stuff, isn't it? Can I just draw your attention to that verse 35 part of it? Because I find that amazing. Do good without expecting anything back. Amazing. We can all do good, but it's like, I know about it, you know about it, you owe me. You owe me. That's the attitude of the flesh. But Jesus says, give freely, no strings attached. Free gift, free favor. Freely you've received, freely give. You've received mercy, give it. You've received compassion and kindness, give it. You've received patience from others, give it. Because the merciful one is in you. The compassionate, kind one is in you. The patient one, praise God, is in you. We've got to put that big straw into Jesus. Draw him out by faith. And this is the miracle of the Christian life, that we actually have been set free from ourselves. We don't have to be selfish. What a miracle! I just think that's the best. I think the best news of the gospel is that I have been set free from me, and you have been set free from you. That's the power of the cross. No longer you at the center. Galatians 2:20 says this: I have been crucified with Christ. Think of it. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If we believe this and live it, let me say, we will be free as birds, happy as larks. Reckoning ourselves dead is the greatest freedom and victory of our lives. Years ago in Switzerland, we met a young man. His name was Boris, and I can't remember his surname, so I've chosen a popular Swiss-German surname, Schmidt, right? Because he had a poster up in his house, and the poster looked something like this. Boris Schmidt, 15th of the 9th, 78, his date of birth, to the 21st of the 3rd, 96, R.I.P. Now, let me tell you, he didn't die physically on the 21st of March, 1996. He was born again. But he fully believed that Galatians 2:20, I've died. And so he had this poster, he made this poster, he put it up in his house because he knew, I daily need this reminder that I, Boris, have died. You might think that's weird. I think that's brilliant. I think it's just brilliant because his absolute goal was from the 21st of March 96 onwards, I'm going to let Christ live. Amen. Through this body. And my goal, and I encourage you, let it be your goal. This body, Lord, is for you to talk through. It's for you to walk through. It's for you to behave, have your attitudes through. What a freedom, what a joy. I want us to speak this out and declare it to ourselves, this Galatians 2:20. Let's say it together. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. So let me put it like this. A dead person can't lose their patience, right? Ha, got you. A dead person cannot have an outburst of rage. A dead person can't get offended or have a bad attitude. Amazing. You can't get anything out of a dead person. You can't get a response out of a dead person. Let me tell you, if you ignore them, they won't react. If you criticize them, they won't react. If you slap them, they're not going to react. They're dead. Think of it. Dead. Let me tell you, this is our ultimate victory, church. Yielding is good. Surrender is good. Submission is good. But our winning choice, our trump card, if you like, every time, is this. Die. Just die. Just turn to your, and I mean this in a positive way, just turn to your neighbour and say, just die. Die. It's our victory. Let me tell you, this. I know it's joy to the world, you know, 'tis a season to be jolly and all that, but this is the jolliest message you can ever hear. Just die. What a victory. Because when your flesh starts, well, when might this is, I'm learning this in the process. When my flesh starts talking, I'm learning to say, you're dead to me. When I'm experiencing a reaction, normally in the emotions, because of your thoughts, you're dead to me. When your flesh wants to lead, you can't. You're dead. Flesh can't lead because it's dead. You're not getting what you want, because of course our flesh lies and tells us, you'll be happy when you get what you want. You'll be happy when you get it how you want it, when you want it. And actually the opposite is true. Jesus lived a selfless life. Selfless. It says he was anointed with the oil of joy more than all his companions. Hebrews 1 verse 9. I think we've got it on a slide. You've loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than all your companions. He was the happiest person on earth. When we say Galatians 2:20 to our flesh, let me tell you, you get the oil of joy. You get that happy lift on the inside. And you know, the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey him. And I just want to finish with this. If you obey him in the little things, it's easier to obey him in the bigger things. And just to kind of end on a Christmas note, here's a revelation for you. A turkey has two legs. If three of you want one, be the one to yield. Okay? Just give a little. Practice preferring others in the little things. In the little things. And let me tell you, your joy barometer will go up over Christmas. So many opportunities to be patient and to prefer one another. Now, this isn't a difficult message, and I've done it on purpose, two P's. So I want to finish by saying, this Christmas, give your gifts by all means, but probably the greatest gift you can give to anybody and everybody is patience and preference. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, well, I really want to encourage you. If we could have that Galatians 2:20 back on the screen. I really want to encourage you. Over the Christmas period, meditate on this verse. Memorize it. So much so that you can speak it to yourself wherever you are without a Bible. Or without your phone, or without any ability to read it. Memorize it, okay? And speak it to yourself wherever you are. And then draw the life of Jesus out of your spirit, just like the water through this straw, by faith. So I'm going to ask you now, just get into twos and threes and pray for one another that you will believe and live this verse this Christmas.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.